मुखं करोति वाचलं अंगुं लंघयति गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम्। I bow down to Krishna, the embodiment of supreme bliss, through whose grace the lame scale mountains and the dumb become eloquent. Make Krishna be the guide of our lives. Om Shantihi, Shantihi, Shantihi. Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 18, Moksha Yoga, Liberation Through Renunciation. We started our Gita in September 1980, and hopefully we shall finish it tonight. I talked 62 classes on the Gita. Gita is the most popular scripture in India, like the Bible. It is a non-sectarian scripture. It is a book of life. The title of the book is Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad means God. Gita means song. The song of God. There are 700 verses in this Gita, which is the part of the Mahabharata, one of the greatest epic in this world. Mahabharata consists of 100,000 verses. In this Bhagavad Gita, among 700 verses, I don't know the exact number, Krishna spoke, I think, more than 600 verses, and Arjuna few, and Sanjaya, the emissary, the ambassador of Dhritarashtra, spoke few verses. And Dhritarashtra, the blind king, asked only one verse. That is the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita. Again, I shall tell you the setup. The setup is the battlefield of Kurukshetra, 80 miles away from New Delhi. Two brothers, Dhritarashtra and Pandu. Dhritarashtra had 100 sons, Duryodhana and others, and Pandu had 5 sons, Yudhishthira, Bhima, Arjuna, Nakula and Sahadeva. These 5 brothers are very righteous, and those 100 brothers are very unrighteous. They persecuted these 5 brothers all through their lives, and then took away their kingdom and banished them for 13 years in the forest. They returned and demanded their property. The unrighteous king said, "Without fight, without battle, we shall not give you even a little soil, mud, which can be raised by the eye of a needle." So the war became inevitable. Krishna was sent to avoid that holocaust, but he could not convince the unrighteous people. The unrighteous party had 11 million soldiers, and the righteous party had 7 million soldiers. Arjuna was the commander-in-chief of these 7 million soldiers. He asked Krishna to drive his chariot. Krishna was his charioteer in between the armies. So he wanted to see with whom he would fight. Seeing the opponents, among them was his great-grandfather, Bhishma, his guru, Drona, and many relatives. All of a sudden, he decided not to fight. He said, "Gurun hatva hi killing my friends and relatives and teachers and grandfather, I don't like to enjoy this kingdom. It is better to lead the life of a mendicant." so he wanted to escape. Krishna said, that is one of the most important verses of the Bhagavad Gita. Kutastva kasmalamidam vishame samupastitam anarja jushtam asargam akirti karam Arjuna. Arjuna, it does not look good. You are a hero. Don't yield to unmanliness, O Arjuna. It does not befit thee. Get up and fight. You see, in the battle of life, if you try to escape, there is no remedy from that problem. You are escaping. Escapism is not the solution. You'll have to face the brute, face the devil, face the problem. So Krishna inspired him to fight. It is a righteous war. If you die, you will go to heaven. So before this war, Sanjaya, the emissary of Dhritarashtra, blind king, got the boon from Vyasa, the great sage, that he would report the whole war, the outcome of the war, to this blind king, the father of the unrighteous children. The war continued 18 days. We are on the first day, remember, just before the war. And this Sanjaya got that clairvoyance and clairaudience power, Dibya Chakshu, divine sight, and divine hearing. And sitting in the palace, he could see what was going on in the battlefield. He could report at verbatim. So that is the setup of the Bhagavad Gita. There are 18 chapters. The first chapter is Vishada Yoga, chapter on grief. Religion begins from grief, most of the religion. Out of joy, few people come to God. Krishna mentioned, four types of people come to religion. First, the afflicted, a lot of pain, suffering, agony inside. Second, jiggasu, curious. Third, artharti, people come with some, to fulfill some of their desires. And jnani, the lover. The lovers are really few who really love God without any expectation. They are the true lovers and true seekers of God. Then the Gita continued. Arjuna was submerged in grief and delusion and fear. You see, in the battlefield, if you broke one hand and foot, it doesn't matter. You will be all right. But if your mind, morale, is broken, shattered, there is no hope for you. You will lose in the battlefield. Always remember, in the battlefield of your life, don't be depressed. The moment you are depressed, you are gone. You will never win. Look, last time our cardinals are playing very well, but in the final look, their morale was shattered, broken. So 11-0. They are defeated by Kansas City. Their mind was depressed. They created, they were not steady. They lost their balance. The moment you lose balance, you will lose. They defeated Los Angeles, the powerful team, at last lost by Kansas City. Because their mind was not steady. Same thing happened. In the battlefield of your life, don't be depressed. A Gita will never yield you, never allow you to be depressed. For that reason, when people come to me, I say, if you want to practice religion, read one chapter of the Bhagavad Gita every morning. It will take 10 minutes. You will not lose anything in your life. Just 10 minutes you read. That will tell you what you will have to do, where you are, who you are, where to go, how to solve the problems of life. That is Bhagavad Gita. Human beings have problems. What are the problems? Two. You have delusion, you have fear. Well, those two things will be knocked out by Krishna in this Bhagavad Gita. Those two problems, this Gita was taught 3,000 years ago, those two problems are still there in our minds. Fear, what will happen? And delusion, confusion. So I told you in brief the background, the perspective of the Bhagavad Gita. The last Krishna, verse 72. Kuchiditat shrutam partha tvayuka grina chitasa kuchit jnana sangmoha pranashtasti dhananjaya. This is his last verse, the last talk to Krishna, to Arjuna. Has it been heard by you, O Partha, with an undivided mind? Has your delusion born of ignorance been destroyed, O Dhananjaya? Very interesting verse. After telling so many things, Karma Yoga, first Shankha Yoga, Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Karma Sannyasa Yoga, Dhyana Yoga, Akshara Sannyasa Yoga, Akshara Brahma Yoga, Raja Yoga, then Vibhuti Yoga, Vishwarupa Darshana Yoga, Kshetra Kshetrajna Yoga, Gunatraya Vibhaga Yoga, Purushottama Yoga, Daivasura Sampada Yoga, Shraddha Yoga, Gunatraya, Shraddhatraya Yoga, then Moksha Yoga. These 18 chapters, in these 18 chapters, Krishna unveiled the whole mystery of human life. He discussed various yogas, various ways and means to reach the goal. And it is not an ordinary person who is teaching. Always remember, Krishna, God Himself, is talking to man. I sometimes say, you can go to a church and listen to the minister's sermon on the minister's sermon, on the Sermon on the Mount. And if Christ tells you directly the Sermon on the Mount, what is the difference? If Christ talks, it will penetrate inside you. But the minister's sermon may go through one ear and can go out through the other. That is the difference between Christ's teaching and the ordinary people's teaching. So after giving all these thoughts and ideas and teachings, Krishna was asking, did you listen wholeheartedly with undivided attention what I said? Krishna knew that Arjuna heard it. But still, you know, they love to hear, the teacher loves to hear that whether, you know, he heard properly or not, so that the audience may feel better, you see, that yes, Arjuna heard. It is just like that, you know, your somebody's husband says, I love you. She also wants to hear from her husband that I love you. It is something like that, you know, reciprocal. Have you heard what I said? Is your delusion gone? You see, there Sri Ramakrishna mentioned there are three types of doctors. The first doctor, the first kind, prescribes the medication and he does not keep in touch with the patient. Now you take care of yourself. The second kind of doctor will give you the prescription and then he will give you a call. Are you taking the medication? Is it working? And the third kind of doctor, we will call it Uttam Vaidya. He will prescribe the medication, he will give you the medication, and if you do not take it, he will put the knee on your chest and force you to take it. That doctor is the best doctor. Uttam Vaidya. But you see, in America, you cannot do that. You will be sued. doctor will be sued, the guru will be sued, you see. So in this country, guru gives instruction, you go ahead and do whatever you want to do. Because otherwise he will be sued, you see. You'll have to go to jail. In this country, very difficult to be a real teacher, to put the knee on your chest and you will have to do it. In the beginning of the Gita, we find Arjuna told Krishna what was happening in his body. Gandiva sramshate hastat vakcheiva puridajyate. My whole body is trembling. My lips are dry. Throat is dry. I am perspiring out of fear. Seeing that 11 million soldiers in front of him, he was scared. Then mind. Arjuna nau nachata etad vidma kataranna goriyo jad vajay vajudimana jayu jane bahatva jijivi samaste pramukhe padhartha rashtra. I am so confused, I do not know what shall I do. Shishyasteham shadimam tvam prapannam. I am your disciple, please tell me what shall I do. I take refuge in you. Arjuna was confused. Buddhing mohayosivame. Mani, his buddhi, mohokalilam vati tirashyati. His buddhi, intellect also was clouded. He cannot make any decision. His body, physically he was sick, mentally he was sick, and intellectually also he was not right. You know, his mind, his intellect was clouded. He cannot make any decision. That was Arjuna's condition, remember, in the beginning of the Gita. Don't think that is Arjuna's condition, yours, mine, when we face various kinds of problems in our life, we also feel that same way Arjuna felt 3,000 years ago. You, me, we also encounter this kind of problems. Listening is very important in the Vedantic tradition. Shravana, manana, nididhyasana. First you listen, then you reflect, then you meditate. That is Vedantic spiritual disciplines. First listen. You remember when we joined the monastery, first 5 years, every morning and every night, except Sunday, of course, we listened to Vedanta from a teacher. We just came from university and entered the monastery in 1958. Just 5 years only we listened, day in, day out, from a good teacher of Vedanta. Listening is very important. When there is a school of Vedanta, they say, mere listening will give you liberation. You will not have to reflect. What do you mean? Well, reflection is for those whose mind is not pure. If you are a good student like Christ, or Ramakrishna, or Chaitanya, or Shankara, mere listening, you will get illumination. That happened. You see, when Christ was initiated by John, baptized, if you read the description in the Bible, he rose high. When Ramakrishna listened to that Mahavakya, great Vedic dictum, he merged into Samadhi. When Shankara listened to that Mahavakya, he merged into Samadhi. When Chaitanya heard that Mahavakya, the great Vedic dictum, Tattvamasi, thou art that, immediately he realized, I am Brahman. He merged into Samadhi. We hear the same mantra, but we don't merge into Samadhi. Why? Because our minds are not pure enough like Ramakrishna, Christ, Shankara and Buddha. They are God incarnates. They have no cloud, no ignorance in their minds. I should not say no, maybe 5%, but 90%, 5% minds are illumined. You see, no gunas. All three gunas must be there. Whereas Ramakrishna's mind, 90% Shvatta, 5% Rajas, 5% Tamas. If Rajas and Tamas are not there, he all the time he will merge into Samadhi. Rajas means activity. Tamas means a little sleep, forgetfulness. It is necessary if you have a human body. So anyhow, listen. There is a beautiful story that once a demon got a skull. No, he got three skulls. And he used to present those three skulls in front of a person and said, please tell me among these three who is the intelligent one. And if you cannot answer the question, he will kill you. So many people are killed by that demon. And at last, a person came, a pundit, and the demon asked him the question, please tell me among these three who is the most intelligent person. If you cannot answer my question, I shall kill you. So this answer, it is simple. I can give you the answer. Well, nobody has been able to give the proper answer and all are killed and you will give me the answer. Well, of course. Please bring me a stick, a simple stick, flexible stick, like plastic, you know. Of course, at that time there was no plastic. Anyhow, bring a cane or something like that, a stick. So he put the stick in the ear of the first skull, and immediately that stick went through the other ear. Then he said, this person is no good, he is a stupid person. Why? Well, the thing which he heard in his life, it went through the other ear. So he is no good. Then he took the second skull. He put the stick inside the ear and it came out through the throat. Well, this fellow is also no good. And whatever he heard, he swallowed everything. He could not do anything. Then he took the third skull and he put the stick into the ear. And that stick, you see, in the skull, there are some various formation inside. So that skull, that stick went upward and touched the skull. And it did not go out. So the scholar said that this person is the intelligent person. He listened and retained in his brain. So this fellow is the intelligent. So the demon was very pleased. Well, I got my answer. So you see, there are various types of listening. Some people listen and put inside the stomach. Some people listen and it goes out. And some people retain. So, Arjuna Krishna was checking that what type of disciple I have. Huh? Not putting the stick into the ear, but just asking the question. Gita. The book of knowledge. Has this knowledge removed your ignorance? That was the question. Arjuna Uvacha, Arjuna said, Nashto moha smritir labdat tvat prasadat mayachyuta sthitosmi gata sandeha karishye vachanam tava. My delusion is gone. I have regained my memory through your grace, O Krishna. I am firm. I am free from doubt. I will act according to your word. That is Arjuna's answer. Very straight answer, no ambiguity. First he says, Nashto moha. Moha. Moha means delusion. Do you know what is delusion? Amar. Bodh. My. My husband, my wife, my children, my home, my family, my car. My. Amar. Never say Amar. Never say mine. In India, if you ask a woman, is it your children? You say, God gave me. They will not say, yes, my child. Even in village, I have seen. Well, they have their own religious background, you know. They will say, not all women, I should say. God gave me this child. Amar. Moh. Delusion comes. Yeah, we are all caught in the Maya. What is Maya? I and my. This is the net. I, one warp and woof. One side is I, another side is my. So we are in the net of I, inside the I and my. No escape. If you can remove this I and my, only God remains. God exists. We are all bound by that I and my ego. So Arjuna says, Nasto moha. My moha, my delusion has been dispelled, is destroyed. I had attachment for my family, for my friends, my cousins. For that reason, I was hesitant to fight, though it is a righteous war. But that delusion is gone. Smritir Labdha, I got back my memory. What is memory? God consciousness. That I got back. Chandogya Upanishad says, Ahara Shuddhau Satya Shuddhi Satya Shuddhau Dhruva Smriti Smriti Lambe Sarva Granthinam Vipramoksha. Ahara Shuddhau. If we eat good food don't think food only we take through the mouth. We take food through all senses. Through eyes, through ears, through nose, through mouth, through hands, through touch. We gather sensations, experience from external world to the mind. So ahara shuddhau, if you gather good food inside, sattva shuddhi, your mind will be purified. Sattva shuddhau dhruva smriti, if you have pure mind, you will get constant recollectedness of God. Smriti lambe sarva granthinam vipramoksha. When you get that constant recollectedness of God, you will be liberated, you will be free forever, you will be illumined. That is the message of the Upanishad. So, use your senses to gather beautiful things inside. So, Arjuna says, Smriti Labdha, I got back that memory. Memory of God consciousness. I know now who am I. I am the Atman. I am neither the body, nor the mind, nor the senses. I am that Self. By your grace, Tvat Prasadatmaya, don't think that I got it by my own effort. Tvat Prasadat, by your grace, He Ochyuta, He Krishna. Sthitoshmi, I am firm. My body is not shivering anymore. I conquered fear. Sthitoshmi, steady. I am healthy now. My health is in good shape. You see, if you walk in a very big rubber tube full of air, you don't have any balance. You move, your body moves, your legs are not, your feet are not steady. Because you, on the place where you are standing, you know, that place is unsteady. So you cannot be steady. Standing on the unsteady place, you cannot be steady. Standing on the steady place, you can be steady. If you stand on a rock, you are steady. Standing on the, as I say, that rubber tube, you are never steady. Same thing, in Vedanta, we find this world is a very unsteady place. This world is continuously moving. Both physical world and the mental world. It is in a flask. It is continuously moving. So we are never steady here. Do you know who is steady? The person who has touched the Self, the Atman. That Atman is the only motionless thing in this life, in this world. The moment you touch God, you are secured. You are steady. If you try to touch, you are thinking, my father will help me, my mother will help me. Nobody will help you. I remember an incident in Girish's life. A disciple of Sri Ramakrishna. When he was 9 or 10 years old, was going with his father to visit a place and their boat was capsized. by a cross current and the storm. And he ran and grabbed his father. The father pushed the son from him. And he felt so bad. Then in later life he mentioned, my father told me, why are you coming to hold me? Hold God. Do you think if the boat sinks, I shall protect you? I shall try to protect my own life. Of course, the father was trying to teach his son to stand on his own feet. Of course, he died within a couple of years. So he was an orphan. So he knew that the boy will have to stand on his own feet, that he was training his son in that way. So in this world, nobody is steady. Wife is thinking that I shall hold my husband. Husband is thinking I shall hold my wife, you know, in trials and tribulations. Both are unsteady. An unsteady person is holding another unsteady person. That is the world. Hold on God. Hold on Christ. Hold on Ramakrishna. If you want that steadiness, they are really steady. Because their lives are established on the self, on the Atma, on Brahma. That says, Krishna, Arjuna says, Sthitoshmi. I am now steady, firm, because I touched the self. You gave me the self knowledge. Gato sandeho, the moment you have the knowledge, you have no doubt. That is the result of self-knowledge. The Upanishad says, Vidyate Hridayo Granthi. How do I know whether you have self-knowledge or not? The knots of your heart will be cut asunder. What does it mean? You will never be crooked. Your mind will go straight, direct. There is no ambiguity, no zigzag course in the mind. You will find an illumined soul is very simple, very straightforward. Vidyate Hridayo Granthi, because a zigzag course brings by ignorance, darkness, crookedness. But knowledge brings straight light. Vidyate Hridayo Granthi, Chiddante Sarva Samshaya, all doubts are dispelled. Shiyante Chaisya Karmani, all works cease to function. Tasmin Drishti Parabari, when a person experiences the Atma, the Self. So Arjuna says, Gata Sandeha. Sandeha means doubt. My doubt is gone. Doubt comes when your mind is in darkness. Ignorance. Kurishye Vachanantam, I shall follow what you say. Whatever you will ask me to do, I shall do. You ask me to surrender myself to you, I do. Here I surrender myself. You, whatever you will say, I shall do. Previously, Krishna threatened Arjuna. Na srangshasi virangshasi. If you do not listen to my advice, you will perish. Madhbhakta na pranashyati. My devotee never perishes. Take refuge in me. I shall save you from all sins. Grieve not. Sarvadharman purityajya mamekam sharanam rajam. Take refuge in me. Give up all of your dharmas, duties. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami mashucha. I shall save you from sin. Do not grieve. Sri Krishna changed his will. You see, we find in the Gita, there are many, when you read the Gita, you will find sometimes contradiction. For example, Krishna says, give up all dharmas, all duties. At the same time, he says, you follow your own duty. Then, in one place he says, conquer the enemies, enjoy this world. At the same time, he says, renounce everything. Take refuge in me. Some places he said, Ganagni Sarvakarmani Bhasmashat Kurite Arjuna, a fire of knowledge burns all actions. At the same time, Krishna says, Niyatam Kuru Karmatvam, work incessantly. You see, these things, you may say, Swami, how shall we reconcile these things? If you read the Gita, you will find there is beautiful harmony, beautiful reconciliation. So long you have ego, do. You will have to work. There is no way. The moment you transcend the ego, there is no action for you. That some people misunderstand Vedanta. In Vedanta, there are two planes, relative plane and absolute plane. So long in the relative plane, in this world, you are. You have husband, your children, your family, wife. Please take care of everything. Do your duty. The moment you transcend that plane and come to the absolute plane, you are one with God. At that time, you have no husband, no wife, no children, no family. Who will do that? Your mind. The Vedanta will teach you how to live in both planes of consciousness. Sometimes stay in the relative plane, sometimes stay in the absolute plane. Merge into samadhi, merge into deep meditation, and experience that God consciousness. At that time, forget the world. Why will you carry world 24 hours? Why don't you disconnect yourself a couple of hours a day and enjoy that supreme bliss? That Vedanta teaches. You will not have to renounce, be a mendicant and monastic. Sri Ramakrishna says, first learn how to dance on 2 feet and then be a ballet dancer. You can, move, circle on the toe. How expert they are, the ballet dancers. So first learn how to dance on 2 feet, then on 1 foot, then on the toe. They are expert dancers. So be an expert human being in this world. Nimitta Matra Bhavasebe. Krishna also mentioned previously, be my instrument. I shall do everything. Only be my instrument. Kurishya Bachanantama. Krishna, and now I understand. I shall be the flute in your hand. You play whatever you want to play. Self-surrender. That is the last stage in spiritual life. Surrender your ego. So long you have ego, you will suffer. There is no escape. Krishna crushed Arjuna's ego. Say, Twat Prasadat. What a beautiful expression. By your grace, I got my self-knowledge. I am free from doubts. I am firm, steady. My delusion is gone. It is your grace. It is not my credit. I am Arjuna, the invincible conqueror who was never defeated in his life. The greatest hero of the Mahabharata is Arjuna. So, now we know what Krishna said to Arjuna. Arjuna's reply is the real end of the Gita, the conclusion of his dialogue with Krishna. The instruction is over, the fight is about to begin, but Arjuna's will is undivided now, which means that it is one with the divine will. Victory is only a matter of time. His spirit is caught by those marvelous lines of William Blake. Bring me my bow of burning gold. Bring me my arrows of desire. Bring me my spear. O clouds, unfold. Bring me my chariot of fire. I will not cease from mental fight, nor shall my soul sleep in my head, till we have built Jerusalem in England's green and pleasant land. To those in the thick of this battle, the Gita gives 2 watchwords, fight and faith. Give your very best against your samskaras. Never give up. Then have faith for the rest. Remember Augustine's assurance, if we will do what we can, he can do as he wills. Arjuna says literally, Smritir Labdha, I have my memory back. I remember now who I am. We can imagine him looking back over the long travel of evolution through which each of us has passed and shaking his head in wonder. How could I have forgotten? Our present state is a kind of prolonged amnesia. We have forgotten our divine nature, the unity from which we came. When a person has amnesia, don't friends try to awaken his memory with reminders? One familiar objects, the faces or voices of those who once were dear? All this happens as we begin to wake up from this spiritual amnesia and recall we are not a separate, isolated creature, but a prince, a princess, with a kingdom to return to and a mission to discharge when we return. Arjuna is all his full stature now, every inch the warrior. You remember the insignia, no wounds on the back, no retreating. That is the mark of the lover too, no retaliating, no retreating. The forces are gathered, and Sri Krishna has thrown down a very personal challenge to us all. If you can forgive, if you can learn to return kindness for unkindness, love for hatred, you are on the side of light. But if you cannot forgive, if you prefer to meet violence with violence, then you are on the other side, whatever goal you may have in view. Therefore, the Gita says, the fate of the world is in your hands, by your choices. Each of us helps to shape the destiny of us all. Next verse. Sanjaya uvacha. Sanjaya said, ittiham vasudevaisya parshvaisya cha mahatmanah sangvadam imam asraushyam advhutam ramaharshanam. Sanjaya said, thus did I hear this wonderful dialogue between Krishna and the high-souled Arjuna, which caused my hair to rise. As I told you, this Sanjaya was the emissary who reported the whole Mahabharata word to Dhritarashtra, father of Duryodhana, who was a born blind person. Duryodhana used to go to his mother every day before the war begins. You know that 18 days, that is one of the beautiful things. Children, before they take any kind of great undertaking, they go to the mother for blessing. So Duryodhana went to his mother for blessing. Gandhari, the great queen, said, Jato dharmas tato jayah, where there is righteousness, there is victory. That is the blessing she gave. She was not partial. You are my son, so I shall have to say that you win. Jato dharmas tato jayah, where there is righteousness, there is victory. That is the central message of the Mahabharata. Dharma, righteousness, truth, always wins. So, Sanjaya says, yes, I heard this dialogue directly between Krishna and Arjuna, which caused my hair to rise. It is a thrilling story. You see, he is now concluding this Mahabharata, this Gita, as if like, thank you, you know, giving thanks to everybody that meeting is over. Dash of prasadat shrutavani mam guhyam aham param jagang yogang yogeshwarat krishnat shakshat kvatayata swayam. Through the grace of Vyasa, the great sage, I heard this supreme and profound yoga direct from Krishna, the Lord of Yoga, himself teaching it. Through the grace of the sage Vyasa, Sanjaya had been endowed with divine vision by which he observed all that happened between Krishna and Arjuna on the battlefield and reported to Dhritarashtra. Yoga, the Gita is called yoga because it deals with yoga or the communion of the soul with the Supreme Self. So I heard this yoga, Yoga has many meanings. There are 18 meanings of yoga. Here, yoga means union between the individual soul and God. Cosmic, you can call it divine communion. That is yoga. Yoga means union. So, I heard this interesting teachings of yoga from Krishna himself. Rajan saṃsmṛta saṃsmṛta saṃvādam imam adbhūtam keśavārjunayo puṇyam hriṣyāmi ca punah punah. O king, every time I remember this wonderful and sacred dialogue between Krishna and Arjuna, I rejoice again and again and over again. I was thinking, how did he see? You know, if modern people ask that Swami, how can he see, sitting in the palace, what is happening in the battlefield? I was in California last summer, so I went to visit a friend. He was a movie director, and he has all fancy video equipment in his den. So I went to his den and I was watching a little television. At that time, some game was going on in Midwest, you know, and then he was explaining to me, he bought some software that he can get any station of this country through satellite. You know, he bought that equipment. He said, Swami, with that what is happening in Chicago or New York, it goes to the satellites for us 22,000 miles above. Something 22,000 or 15,000, something like that, he said. I don't exactly remember. It goes to the satellite, and from satellite it comes to Los Angeles. So 22,000 and 44,000 miles, you know, in this way it goes and comes back to the satellite, and I have the disc and it catches and I can see clearly what is going on in New York and you know, that ball game. What is going on in New York, Chicago or Atlanta, wherever the game is going on, you can see it clearly. So I was thinking, you know, it is called divine sight. That, you know, the television camera is shooting that thing to the satellite and satellite it is coming. And sitting in a den in Los Angeles, you can see what is going on in New York, ball game. It is divine sight. It is a live game. You can see. So these things are there, you know, without software and television set. 3,000 years ago, India discovered those things. In the Ramayana, we find Pushpaka Rath. Rath means chariot, flying chariot. Rama and Sita are returning from Lanka, Sri Lanka to Ayodhya, northern part of India, by that flying chariot. Now your aeroplane. All these things are there in the Ramayana Mahabharata age. It is true. Those stories, those incidents, we, you know, people think that how is it possible? It is, now you can see how is it possible. Your phantom jets and C-130 can carry arms, ammunition, all these things from one place to another. So they had all those things. Keshavarjanayo punyam hriṣyāmi ca punah punah, O king, every time I remember this wonderful and sacred dialogue between Krishna and Arjuna, I rejoice again and again, and over again. He was trying to tell the readers, Sanjaya, that if you listen to the message of God, you will get joy like me too. I am getting joy. And if you listen, you also will get joy. As if Sanjaya is trying to convince the readers of the Bhagavad Gita that study it, see what is in this dialogue. Tatya saṃsmṛta saṃsmṛta rūpam atyadbhūtam hare viṣmayam imān rājan hriṣyāmi ca punah punah. And as often as I remember that most wonderful form of Krishna, greet is my astonishment, O king, and I rejoice again and again. Not only I heard the dialogue between Krishna and Arjuna, I saw Krishna's cosmic form in the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. We read that cosmic form. When Krishna took that cosmic form, Arjuna was dumbfounded. He says, I used to consider you my cousin, my friend. I, you know, neglected you, not gave you proper respect. But you are the Supreme God. And please forgive me. Arjuna begged forgiveness. So when Krishna took that cosmic form, this Sanjaya also saw it. So he says, not only I heard, but I saw that cosmic form. That also is giving me that thrilling feeling and that joy I cannot express to you, O King. Then in the last verse, I have a superstition. My teacher told me, never finish the last verse of any scriptures. I asked why. Because the scripture cannot be finished. The students will say that we have finished the Bhagavad Gita. So that the students may not say that they have finished the Bhagavad Gita, so never say the last sentence, last verse. So I shall not read the last verse to you. So that you may not claim that you have finished the Gita. I also not claim that I have finished the Gita. But the essence of that last verse is, Krishna, Sanjaya says, that where there is Krishna, where there is Arjuna, there is victory, there is prosperity, there is power, and there is liberation. Arjuna represents karma, action. Krishna represents knowledge. Action without knowledge is demoniac, destructive. You are doing, you do not know what are you doing. Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna. Where there is Krishna and Arjuna. When man takes God in his life and combines his effort with divine will, he attains victory, prosperity, wealth, and liberation. So, thus in the Bhagavad Gita, the essence of the Upanishads, the science of Brahman, the scripture of yoga, the dialogue between Sri Krishna and Arjuna ends the 18th chapter entitled The Way to Liberation Through Renunciation. All right, you can ask me questions if you want. You know that his guru, Drona, his stepbrother, Karna, he did not know that he was his stepbrother. Then Bhishma, the great grandsire, and his cousins, means his father's brother's children, they were on one side. So Arjuna was reluctant to fight because he was brought up on the lap of Bhishma. His guru trained him. And now how can he fight with his guru, you know? It is very shocking for that person that I, being a disciple, I will have to fight with my guru. So he was reluctant to fight. It is, I do not know what other symbol you are thinking of that. Well, that war, it is symbolic in one sense that war is continuously going on inside our mind. We have good tendencies, we have bad tendencies. There is continuously an unseen warfare is going on inside the human mind. So it is very symbolic that way. Oh yes, some of his relatives also fought in his side also. His brother-in-law, his Arjuna's father-in-law, they fought with Arjuna's side. You see, do you know what happened at that time? In India, the big vast continent, and the whole Indian army were divided. Some joined to Duryodhana's party and some joined to Arjuna's party. Some joined to righteous party, some joined to unrighteous party. And Krishna was in trouble because he is related to both of them. So he promised that I shall not fight in this war. I shall be neutral because both Arjuna and Duryodhana, both are my relatives. You see, Krishna's son married Arjuna's, Krishna's son married, I think, Duryodhana's daughter. And Arjuna's mother and Krishna are cousins. And Arjuna married Krishna's daughter, Krishna's sister. So they are all interconnected, you see, relatives. So Krishna said that I am not going to fight. I shall be neutral. Then he was lying down in his bed. Duryodhana went to get Krishna in his side. Arjuna also went to get Krishna in his side. So when Krishna was lying down sleeping on his bed, Arjuna sat on near the feet.